You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Urban agriculture can be seen as a solution to a bunch of city-centric problems, from vacant lots to a lack of green space and food access. With its long history of urban farming, Detroit can serve as a national model of just what urban agriculture could look like. As more farmers choose Detroit as a place to put down roots, some are wondering what the future of urban agriculture will look like. Paige Flager from WHYY's The Pulse reports.
A few miles from the heart of Detroit's downtown, sandwiched between diverging freeways, is a sort of microcosm of the city. A factory, a boarded-up warehouse, and a handful of homes surrounded by the kinds of sprawling yards usually associated with the suburbs. Gloria Duncan's kid is petting one of the neighborhood's many stray cats on her front porch.
And I love, you see the cats going to my porch, I love them cats. Oh, here come one, that's yellow.
She bought her white farm-style house in 2007 for $3,000. It overlooked a huge vacant lot across the street, and for a long time, she worried about who might buy it and what that might mean for her neighborhood.
We didn't want condominiums over there because we felt like we wanted something quiet over there that we could trust. Won't be a lot of bad stuff going on.
Yeah, lots of new people in the neighborhood. Yeah. And
you know how they can change it real quick.
But after a decade of worrying, Gloria is excited about her new neighbors.
Welcome to the farm! Yay! We bought land.
Ryan Anderson is giving his family a tour of his new for-profit farm. He and his business partner, Hannah Clark, purchased about an acre of space with the help of a $75,000 loan. They want to expand, but for now, the farm is modest. About 20 rows of produce and a tent-like structure called a hoop house.
So we've got some salad turnips and Asian greens.
Ryan and Hannah carrots. Sell their produce to a few higher-end restaurants in the city, part of the local food movement sweeping Detroit and the nation.
There's so much demand that I'm not really worried about not having somewhere to sell things. It's much more scaling up our production, which is great because then it makes a big community. All of the farmers in the city can support each other because we don't have to compete for making sales.
Ryan moved to Detroit because he wanted a farm in a city, and this city is uniquely suited for urban agriculture. In terms of land, Detroit is huge, big enough that you could fit San Francisco, Boston, and Manhattan inside of the city's borders. And a portion of that land is vacant, at least the size of Manhattan, if not bigger, and that's space that could be ripe for growing for a pretty reasonable price. Detroit is already home to a lot of gardens and farms. One group estimates that there are more than 1,500, from individual, community, and school gardens to larger scale farms. But for those who are new to the city and new to farming in it, Detroit can be a really complicated place to navigate. I talked about that with Malik Yakini.
If you're not aware of the context in which you're operating, if you're not aware of the social and political dynamics, if you're not aware of the last 50 years of struggle for black empowerment in the city of Detroit, and you just fall down out of wherever you came from, and you plop in here and you say, well, I'm here and I'm going to do farming, and you don't have any idea of the context you're operating within, then you're likely going to move in a way which is not going to be supportive of community goals and aspirations and perhaps could even undermine those.
Malik is the executive director of the Detroit Black Community Food Security Network. He's a native Detroiter and the founder of D-Town Farm, a 7-acre nonprofit farm.
There's different models of urban ag in the city of Detroit, and we're definitely rooted in the social justice, racial justice, economic justice camp. We're not doing this for profit, and so building a sense of community and advancing certain principles and values is the core of our work, really, and perhaps that's even more important than how many tons of food that we grow.
More than 35% of the city's residents are living below the poverty line, and many households have uncertain access to food. So farms that have been in the city for a long time, like D-Town, place a lot of importance on social justice and something they call food sovereignty, a right to healthy food and a right of the people to define their own food and agriculture systems.
We're hoping that the main seeds that we're planting are not the squash seeds or carrot seeds or tomato seeds, but the seeds in people's consciousness so that they see we have the ability and also the responsibility of providing as much food for ourselves as we can and controlling the way in which that food is grown and making sure that the profits from those that food is circulated within our community as opposed to being extracted.
D-Town has events every month to engage residents in farming and cooking techniques. They're planning on opening a co-op grocery store equipped with a teaching kitchen and lecture space.
So this isn't just something that we're talking about. People can actually come out here and see massive amounts of food being grown and see it being grown by a Black-led organization and by primarily Black people who are out here working. And that's a rarity. In America, it's certainly a rarity.
In the rest of the country, farming is more than 90% white. But Detroit is a city that's 80% Black, according to the 2016 census. Ryan and Hannah, the new for-profit farmers, are aware of this history in Detroit and say that they were expecting some conflict. Their goal is to eventually be able to contribute to social justice efforts in the farming community. But first, they say, they have to make a profit.
Selling to restaurants allows us to both create a financially sustainable business and provide healthful, hyper-local food to our neighbors, kind of subsidizes that ability.
A lot of people and developers are eyeing Detroit as a business opportunity, and urban farms could make neighborhoods more attractive for gentrification. That's making some young farmers like Nick Jones think twice about buying land in the city limits.
You know, part of the reason I started thinking about, like, maybe I should buy land outside the city was that, yeah, I didn't want to contribute to completely like upheaving a neighborhood and displacing people. If that's indeed what's happening, I don't really want to be the spearhead that drives into the neighborhood, you know.
Intentions matter, he says. These urban farms add a lot to their neighborhoods, but they may become magnets for development. That makes him wonder if the farmers that saw the city as a financial opportunity will have more incentive to sell than to stay. For Stateside, I'm Paige Flager.